Before we get started, I want to say a big thank you to everyone who has stepped in through our Patreon site to support what Skirmish Play does, to kind of help our mission out, to help us do some unique things. That's made it possible for us to upgrade some of our equipment this year. We're really excited to take it out there. We did that over the summer, to take it out there, make some things happen this fall, some kind of unique things. And you guys with Patreon have really made that possible. We hope more folks will jump on board with us. Come on and support us. You can check it out at patreon.com/skirmishplay. Definitely want to, to have anybody who is, excited about what we're doing over here, excited about our mission, to jump in and come out and support us. So that's definitely a critical part of what we do. So thanks a lot, and enjoy the podcast. This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Skirmish Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades, and with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate. Welcome to the last, couple of weeks here of football and the first week of basketball. We've got the crossover, the full tilt crossover, where both are going at the same time now. And that's because Louisa County stayed alive for another week. They're headed to the state semifinals. First trip since 2006. First trip for a local team since
2014. Yeah, Western.
Yeah, with Western, the Lafayette game. And
surprise, guess who's back?
Yeah, Lafayette is coming to town this time. Instead of Western went down there in 14, and now Lafayette comes into the jungle and faces a tall task. But the way that Louisa got there, just really impressive against a very, very good Dinwiddie team.
Yeah, I mean, talk about going on the road and sort of hitting somebody in the mouth. I mean, Louisa, you were there, you saw it. They just come out there and really established what they were going to do early on. And I think that's pretty impressive. It was a little bit different in the Monacan game.
Yeah. They made the stop, then a 61-yard touchdown. They jump out 14-0 in total after two Malik Bell touchdowns. And then just as quickly, Dinwiddie, it broke back, scored 14 straight, tied the ball. I mean, it just was so back and forth there early. But then Louisa, showed just what makes them so dangerous is that they can be whatever they need to be. They can be the team that, is Malik taking off for 61 yards, and then they give up a couple of touchdowns, and Malik throws two touchdowns. He threw a big one to Matt West, then threw a late one in the second quarter to Raquan Jones. That was also big. I think when you get that sort of diversity, and that's just in one half, and then you flip over to the second half, and they just become this clock-melting monster that is just leans on you and just pushes on you until you fall over.
And that's something, not that's new to Louisa, but, I mean, they've been running so much hurry up, and the drives have really been, long in terms of distance, but short in terms of clock because they've been so effective. They had so many big runs. So watching them put together those kind of just like playoff drives is really sort of more of a throwback to what they did years ago. And I think that's pretty cool to see that from them. And you can't, there's no way to adjust from that to all of a sudden Air Louisa comes out and then maybe back more of the other stuff, quick scoring plays. I mean, so it's just, I think as a coach, it's impossible to sort of, circle what we're going to take away from Louisa. I mean, you can't take away all of one thing and you can't leave everything else wide open.
Yeah, it's just, we've talked about that the defense is so difficult to solve, but the offense has become just as challenging, I think, and they've just really progressed and everybody knows their role so well. And they're just really in sync. It's pretty crazy. I mean, that second half, there was an O-back. There was just really, you know, kind of old school Louisa properties, old school Louisa formations, that haven't been there all year. And I think that it's cool to see them have that. It's like a golfer who finds another club in their bag. Yeah. Suddenly, it's trouble because, you know, and I don't know if much of that was on tape, to be honest. And then suddenly it's on, you know, it's out there. And Dinwiddie, who's a team that probably doesn't see that many single wing squads, suddenly has to figure it out. And, you know, even though they've got a fantastic linebacker there in Pope, he couldn't figure it. He, you know, couldn't figure out enough to stop it. To get off the field and give his offense a chance. And if they're going to do that to, you know, we said that this region was, I think David Dillman from the Newsflex called it the region of death. It was just, I mean, four unbeaten teams coming out into the gate. You had to feel like that whoever got out of this had a really good shot. And now we see that it's Louisa. And now they play Lafayette for a chance to play for a state title.
Yeah, and I think one of the neat things to come out of this sort of playoff these last couple weeks is to see, I mean, Malik Bell had one heck of a season in the regular season, but he's taken his game to just a little different level.
Yeah.
And they've got so much confidence in him to sort of to do a little bit of everything. You look at the passing game that they've added. Austin Sims, David Sharp, West, I mean, all those guys. To be able to throw that wrinkle in and be confident about it from a play-calling standpoint is just absolutely huge. Because you know you're going to get 200 on the ground.
Yeah,
I mean that's a given,
and you know you're going to get man coverage in the pack because you can't run zone against these guys, or no. They're going to destroy you on the ground.
They'll shred you.
Yeah, or Malik's going to roll out and he's rumbling downfield, and then you got to take your chances on trying to bring down a guy who's the size of an NFL fullback.
And he has one of those runs every game, you know, the 60 plus. So I mean, it's really, I mean, it's just an added dimension and one that they play right now. It's such a good, confident level that it's got to make them feel good. I mean, if you're these receivers, you only get a couple looks a game.
Mm-hmm.
And they're connecting on them. 8 of 12 this week, and I think 6 of 8 the week before.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, and I think they can win maybe without it, but, like, beating them is almost impossible with it, if you know what I'm saying. I mean, like, it's a pretty... It's just an incredible wrinkle. It's an incredible dimension, and it makes them so tough to prepare for because you've got to be able to predict what's about to happen, or you've got to kind of just take your chances and maybe take your lumps on some level. And so if you get into a hole with Louisa, you're in a lot of trouble because they're either going to lean on you or you're going to try and play up on the run and try and make something happen, and then they're dropping it in over the top to you. Because the receivers, I mean, those guys can catch, they can run, they can do some things. It's an exceedingly difficult offense to prepare for right now with the way that it's clicking and the way that it's happening. And on the flip side, you're trying to move the ball against an almost immovable force over there. I mean, they got beat on a couple of big plays against Dinwiddie. But generally speaking, when that defense had to step up, it helped give them the early lead when Brandon Smith came in and just popped the ball out, forced a fumble. And then when they had to have a sack, you know, or they had to have a stop, or they had to have a turnover on downs, there they were. It's one of the better teams that we've seen in scrimmage play's tenure.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's so we're at that point of year when you're only down to four teams.
Mm-hmm.
We're no longer talking about, oh, they're pretty good or they're good. We're now sort of, these are great football teams.
Yeah.
And Louisa, we've only had three teams from the JD get to this point in the last 10 years. You know, Monticello did it in 2007 and 2008. And then Western in 2014. So this is a rarefied company that they put themselves in.
No question about it. And I think that it's going to be fun to see what they're able to pull off. And they get to do it in the jungle. I mean, that's pretty special.
That's the coolest thing. You know, last possible game, you know, for this group of seniors for Mark Fisher on that field. They haven't been there in a month. I mean, that's a pretty neat little surprise when you find out that they're playing Lafayette and how that works out playoff standing-wise. You know, a bunch of unbeaten teams and it's going to come down to something funky like that. But, yeah, for Mineral to get that, I mean, that's going to be a well-attended game.
Yeah, I think, that's just going to be a blast. There's no question about it. And you get there early, If you can get your tickets early, get them early. And if you want to be out there, you better be prepared because it's not going to be a walk up. it's going to be a heck of a ball game. Really exciting, you know, to see what they've done. And you know, we've talked about that. They're a program that can find that extra motivation, can find that extra dig, can find, you know, they get excited to play for something and a chance to play on a field that's named after Fisher in the last possible game. It's just huge.
Yeah, so, it doesn't get any better.
Yeah, and so on the flip side, Goochland hosted in the region final against Pocosin and falls to the Islanders. That's a really good football team as well. Like you said, once you get down to 8-4, whatever, you're talking about great football teams. And Goochland just couldn't pull it off. Heck of a year that they put together. A bunch of seniors that just have made great strides over the last few years, and in the last 2 years have just been fantastic in the regular season.
Yeah, undefeated in the regular season. I mean, they've only lost two games the last 2 years. They've both been in the playoffs, so that's a pretty solid resume for a really good group. And what I would sort of, I mean, you don't want to call it a transitional year because they were so good and they had so much coming back, but Goochland's going to be a really good team again next year because the young talent was so good. And you have a quarterback like McCray can sort of make this team a little bit like.
What do you think the chances are that Goochland finds another running back?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, they're always going to find another running back.
Jasper Carter, great career for him, and yeah, they needed it from him considering what they lost from the backfield last year.
Absolutely.
So the fact they were able to lean on him as heavily as they did, and he gave them all they had.
Guys like Cole Knuckles, guys that have been around forever out there.
John King, Cole Knuckles, Sam Brooks, Ricky Mayfield.
Kaczynski, Mayfield.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good seniors on this team that they're going to miss. So we'll see how they sort of put it back together. But yeah, they just ran into a carbon copy of themselves that happened to be running on all cylinders. I mean, a really good game early on, and then Cozum was just able to pull away 21-10.
Yeah, it's a two wing T squads going at it, and so they knew kind of what to expect from each other, and it was just a battle. So congratulations on a heck of a year to Goochland. They did awfully well, and like we said, this is transition time, and we got a little bit of basketball under our belts now. Just a few games, a smattering, so to speak, and so it's exciting to see a ton of new faces across the area. You know, people are going to have to step into really big new roles this year because we graduated just tons of elite seniors.
Yeah, the class of 2017, that was a basketball class. Mm-hmm. It's what they did. They did it for 4 years at every single school around us. So it's going to be a very different year in all the districts for us. And, you know, that's going to be neat. Like you say, a lot of new fresh faces. There's going to be a lot of different looks for teams. And then, you know, in November and December, these guys, they're all just trying to figure out what they have. I mean, some of these schools, and if you're Louisa County right now, you don't even know.
Yeah, that's right.
Some of these schools, they're figuring out, you know, off of football, okay, what do we have on our roster? And then how do we make it all work? And I think that's what sort of separates this regular season from, you know, the one in football, is that you have some time to play and experiment and iron out some wrinkles.
Yeah, you're right. Like Louisa, Goochland, both those schools' basketball coaches have a wait or just got done with the wait.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of kind of a lot of things kind of happening. We did see William Monroe girls got off to a really good start last night against Orange County. Sam Brunel is one of those few kids that's back that has had a huge impact over the last few years. And she had another monster game, 36-14, just kind of went off. And she's going to have those games. And it looked like they've also got a little something happening with the point guard. Haley Morris had a really nice game for them. And then you got a chance to see Orange and William Monroe last night lock up a little bit. And it certainly seems like Orange just found at least a score.
Yeah, I mean, big man down low, Kayshawn Braxton with a really big night, 27 points and cleaned up on the glass. And, you know, they had a nice inside-outside game working with Jordan Shook. He shot the ball really well from three. And you like the pressure that Orange's defense was able to put on a young Monroe team. Monroe, I mean, not a single senior on that roster. That was all seniors last year.
Yeah.
They've got an opportunity to come really far. And I thought they did a nice job in the second half of making Orange sweat a little bit. I mean, this game looked like it was over in the early parts of the second quarter. And Monroe came out and knocked down a couple threes. Alex Kinsey had a really nice night for them. So Monroe is going to be a team that maybe they take some licks early on, but the way this team's going to look at the end of the year is going to be impressive. And you look sort of 1-2 years down the road, these guys are going to be pretty good. They're going to have a lot of depth going forward because they're going to get so much playing time, so much experience up front. And teams are just going to press them. I mean, that's what we see early on from pretty much any team in November and December. Let's find out who's nervous and try and make them shake a little bit. But, yeah, it was an interesting game between two programs really trying to each sort of – Monroe trying to put the pieces back together and get back to what they had. And then Orange trying to – it's been a while. You got to go back to 2008, 2009, that sort of period with Quentin Hunter and DJ Brown and those guys the last time that they really sort of made – waves in the JD, and I think they've taken a nice step forward from last year.
And so then, too, a big night. Stab basketball picks up a big win. Messiah Woods did a nice job. Big win over Flint Hill. They've got a 6'10 kid who's one of those top 100, top whatever type recruits in the class of 19, and just a really solid performance from that crew. And Stab is going to have to get it done a little differently than they have the last couple of years. And
last year they had to lean so hard on Jaden Nixon. Yeah. Maybe they can get to spread the wealth this year a little bit.
You got Dalton Taylor, you got Messiah Woods, you got Nick Kent. You got a lot of guys who can handle the ball, a lot of guys who have a lot of experience. And I think that it's going to be fun to see what kind of recipe they can kind of put together. And then we also want to hand out an award. We're switching up with the C&G Road Grader of the Week. It goes into the mothballs, I guess, for the year. And we have the C&G Smooth Operator of the Week, a basketball player that has had a really standout week. And we got to start with a program and a player that is really trying to make some strides this year.
Yeah, over in Nelson County, Brian Wilson in his second year there, trying to make waves. And he's got a nice little guard to work with in Jacob Saunders. And we've seen the first game against Buffalo Gap, they win 63-51. And doing that really mostly off the press. And Saunders was big for them there. But he turned a lot of those turnovers into points, and turnovers that maybe he didn't even get directly, but his teammates picked up. And then he took those into points, real decent night from him. I think he finished with 16 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. That is a solid game all the way around. And the effect you saw he had on the floor, Wilson running the press. His teams always are high-pressure teams. We saw that when he was at Buckingham, and he tried to do the same when he was at Louisa. Mm-hmm. Going to do the same thing at Nelson. And really effective against Buffalo Gap and got them out on the right foot. Great game from Saunders.
Yeah, so C&G Smooth Operator of the Week goes to Jacob Saunders. Just a heck of a start for Nelson County, and they get a big test. They go take on James River, I believe, out in Buchanan, Virginia. So they've got a big one coming up, and we got a lot of good games coming up this weekend. The rest of this week, you got Patrick Henry Almar, you got Madison Orange locking up on Saturday, you got Stab and Covenant Boys playing later this week. So a lot of really good early season matchups. Fluvanna girls took a tough loss last night to Waynesboro, but they head up to take on William Monroe. The Fluvanna boys going to be looking to try and get into a little better groove after a rough season last year.
Madison.
They head up to Monroe. Just a ton of really good games in the early going, and I think we're only like a week away from Jefferson District play. So a ton of stuff coming up, a ton of basketball. This transition period is always busy for us. Really excited to get it done, and so definitely come listen along with us and read everything we've got popping up there. We're going to have a ton of state title preview, state Final Four preview stuff coming for Louisa too. So very busy week. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate it.